Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Praise you, Father. Thank you so much for all you're doing throughout the world, Lord, in bringing multitudes into your kingdom and meeting their needs. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to share with you that God is sovereign to meet our needs. Amen. This first revelation is, we called it, God Knows Your Number. It's about the testimony of a locked bag. And it was given to us by Anonymous. A few days ago, I bought a small bag with a built-in number lock. It was used, and it didn't have the combination with it. I figured I would buy it anyway because the code was only 3 digits. I started trying combinations in and got to 150, and then I set it aside. This morning, though, I had a dream that the code was 450-something. Now, the code could be anywhere between 00-999. So, that's about 1,000 options. But I decided to try 450-somethings because of the dream. And guess what? The code was 450. Yes, that's how accurate our dreamers are, folks, and how accurate God's dreams are. Well, praise the Lord, she says. He cares about the little things too. Yes, he does. Luke 11:9-13 says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And of which of you that is a father shall his son ask a loaf, and he give him a stone, or a fish, and he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Amen. Another testimony. We call this healed from a spider bite. And this was given to Mariana Payne, 6/16/22. And she said, "I'd like to share a testimony of the Lord's healing in my body. I had found a small red pin prick on my hip that I thought was a simple little bug bite. I didn't pay it any attention and just went on with my week. However, after a couple of days, the spot started to whelp up and the redness started to spread across my stomach. Isaac, my husband, and I prayed over it and commanded it to go away and for my body to be healed in Jesus' name. The redness was still growing and was now turning purple, and the entire left side of my stomach was swollen. It was painful to stand, bend, and walk, yet we still believed that I was healed. I claimed that I was healed, even though in the natural it was getting worse." Well, that's because we know that the Bible says, "By whose stripes you were healed." It was done. It was done at the cross, right? The bug bite resembled that of a brown recluse spider bite as the infected area began to deteriorate into an open wound. Yep, that's what they do. And as you will read later in the testimony, I listened to UBM Bible studies overnight just to find some relief and find sleep. About this time, the Bible study message on June the 1st, 2022 came out. The message Michael Hare gave that night was spot on and divinely directed for me. Romans 10:17. So faith cometh from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence of things not seen. I believed I have been healed, even if I didn't see it physically yet. I needed to believe in the integrity of God's word. And Mark 11:24 says, therefore I tell you, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Amen. And Romans 3:4 says, let God be true, though everyone were a liar. My flesh and the symptoms were lying, and the truth is, in God's word, I was healed. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Amen. And Proverbs 4:20-22 says, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. I just had to keep God's word in my sight, and not the image of the swollen bite that had now enlarged to a small softball-sized lump. This was a test of true heart faith and not mental assent that God was walking me through. I also thought on a dream that the Lord had given me last year. In the dream, I was bit by a snake and should have died, but the Lord miraculously healed me, and I grew in faith to overcome a tiger. And she has in parenthesis here, UBM Bible Study, Bride Rewarded, Wicked Judged, April 27, 2022. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 1 John 4:4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 5:4-5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Isaac and I asked our brothers and sisters on the outreach ministries to combine and multiply faith in prayer for the manifestation of the healing that I believed I already had. And after those prayers, there was a breakthrough. The lump had started to drain and empty out all the infection. The redness stopped spreading and the color was returning to normal. It drained for a couple of days and the size diminished. However, it then left about a 5 millimeter round hole and about 5 millimeter deep open wound right on my hip. The wound was large enough to require stitches. And all throughout this, I was still claiming it was healed, and that included closing the open wound too. Isaac and I prayed more specifically, and the next morning when I woke up, the wound had closed. It was literally an open wound the night before, and now, after waking up, the wound had closed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In the natural, people who have brown recluse spider bites normally need to be hospitalized and have the infected skin removed. They also need to a full round of antibiotics pumped into them and be stitched up to close such a wound. A bite could turn deadly quickly. But the Lord is my healer and helper. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. I continue to grow in faith, and in Jesus' name I have been healed. Thank you, Jesus. Well, amen. Yep, that would be the normal thing that people do, you know. But those who walk in faith have these awesome testimonies to share with God's people that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to God. Amen. And here's her husband, Isaac Payne. He sent this on 5/8/22. He said, I missed my flight, and Father miraculously got me another one. I wanted to share an awesome testimony concerning me missing my flight. It begins with me traveling to a work site to finish a project. I booked my ticket days before the flight was scheduled. I booked an 11 a.m. departing flight with the final destination arrival to be at 4:49 p.m. This flight was a one-stop connection in ORD, Chicago, and the final destination was AVP, Scranton, Pennsylvania. I arrived at my departing airport, SRQ, which is Sarasota, Florida, and I went to the check-in desk, giving the attendants my bags, checking in for my flight, and receiving my boarding tickets. This time was different. The attendant told me they were short on paper and could only print me one ticket. Typically, I would receive all my boarding tickets needed, including ones for my connections also. This meant I would now need to get my other boarding ticket printed at my first stop in ORD, which is Chicago. The boarding ticket is important because it indicates what terminal and gate I need to be at next in order to board onto the correct plane. Back to the testimony. I was still at Sarasota and arrived at my gate to board the plane. However, the plane was late leaving Sarasota. As we arrived in Chicago, I realized I only had 15 minutes before my next connection flight was to depart. My next flight was already being boarded at this time while I was still sitting on the first flight. And this left me with only 15 minutes to find an attendant, get my boarding ticket printed out, and run to the correct terminal and correct gate to board my plane. To make matters seem more improbable, ORD is an airport hub, which means it can take 20 minutes or more just to get to the correct terminal. Not to mention, I might need to jump onto a train just to get there. However, I was in a place of weakness because the previous airport only gave me one boarding ticket, and I did not know where I was supposed to be. Well, at this point, I realized I had been sent an email showing what the next aircraft number was. However, I still needed to find an attendant to look up the aircraft number and point me in the right direction. I ran around the airport looking for an attendant, but was not able to find a single person. I was starting to get anxious. I immediately called my wife and told her and the kids to pray for me to make my flight so that I don't have to stay overnight at the airport and miss being on site with the client when I was scheduled. AVP Scranton Pennsylvania is not a popular destination, so there was a possibility that there would not any more, there would not be any more flights departing to Scranton. So I looked at my phone and I realized I had less than 10 minutes to make my flight. I continued running around, not knowing where I was going, and casting down thoughts as I went. I finally found an attendant talking to a pilot. The attendant told me he would be momentarily with me. I said politely, "Sir, I have no time. I need to get to my plane. They have already boarded and my flight is about to depart." The attendant looked at my aircraft number up on the computer and said, "I need to be in Terminal F," which was multiple terminals away. At this time, I had 3 minutes to make my flight. The boarding time was done for my flight, and in 3 minutes, the gate would close and the flight would be on the runway. The flight had already boarded 27 minutes ago. So I turned to leave towards the correct terminal. The terminal was still 20 to 25 minutes away. As I was walking away, the attendant shouted back at me, "What is the flight number again?" And I told him once again. He looked at me stunned and said, "Sir, you have 4 hours before your flight departs." I said to him, "Sir, I scheduled my flight so I would arrive around 5 p.m. in Scranton, Pennsylvania. My travel itinerary was departing Sarasota at 11 a.m. and arriving in Scranton at 4:49. I specifically scheduled this so I could get in Scranton earlier." I immediately looked at the email on my phone. It still showed that I was to arrive in AVP Scranton, Pennsylvania at 4:49. And as I was looking at it, knowing the attendant was wrong, the number literally, miraculously changed on my email right before my eyes. Literally right in front of my eyes. The number changed, and now the flight showed I was supposed to be in Scranton at 9:05 p.m. The pilot that was talking to the attendant looked at me, smiled, and said, "Sir, go get yourself some lunch." Well, I was stunned. I knew for a fact I scheduled my flights to arrive at my final destination around 5 p.m. At this point, I knew I had to prove it. I went back to the company travel agency and checked on what I had scheduled and took a picture of the email they sent me. Sure enough, I was right. I knew I witnessed a miracle. Father changed my connection flight and allowed me to get to my destination. I was determined to find out more. Once I ate lunch and got to my terminal, I asked one of the customer support agents if this is normal. She said to me, "I've never heard of that happening. Something is odd." Well, I knew this was an answered prayer. Also, I still have the emails proving what happened to me and see the attached screenshots. Thank you, Father. Yep, they're there. Yeah. Well, I got a little confirmation of Isaac's missed flight experience. Twice God did miracles with my air flights to make sure the hidden manna revelation got to the people it was supposed to. I was flying from city to city, teaching to teaching, and so on. I had wondered to the Lord why He had me on so many connecting flights. So He did something about it. While waiting in Atlanta to catch my flight to Chicago, we were told that the plane had developed mechanical problems and they did not have a replacement until later in the evening. Feeling great peace and thanking God, I went to reschedule and they put me on a flight straight to Indianapolis, where I was scheduled to speak. bypassing Chicago, where we had already shared this revelation. That evening, we heard on the news that Chicago was snowed or iced in and people were sleeping in the airport. And I would have missed my engagement if God had not broken that plane and shortened my trip. On another flight, I arrived in Baltimore, Washington Airport too late to catch my flight to Atlanta. And when I arrived to the gate for my flight to Atlanta, the boarding ramp had already been removed and the door closed on the plane. And the plane was literally revving up its engines to back out. The agent told me that it was impossible to make the flight and I would have to reschedule, especially since I would have to go back through security to be rechecked. I started praying to Father to get me to my destination on time. And I left the security zone to go to the ticket counter for a rescheduled boarding pass. And once I rescheduled, I grabbed my receipt and took off for security and my boarding gate. When I finally made it there, probably 15 minutes after leaving the ticket counter, they were beginning to board. I gave my receipt to the agent at the gate and she printed me a boarding pass. And when I took a moment to look at the pass, I was confused. I checked my original pass, and sure enough, it was the same flight number that I was originally scheduled on. So, in a nutshell, God reversed time, and I miraculously arrived at my boarding gate before... before I had left it the first time. Yes, you heard me right. So I asked the agent how this was possible, that I was rescheduled on the same flight, one that was already leaving, and got back before it left. And she just shrugged her shoulders with a confused look on her face. And on top of that, they were leaving on time. And looking at my watch, no more than 5 minutes had elapsed from the time I left the ticket counter outside security. I was amazed. I thought, Father, what did you do with that time? Well, we know we serve an awesome God who has no limits whatsoever to meet our needs. He doesn't dwell in time. We do. He controls time. As a matter of fact, he's there before we get there. And another time I was driving across country in my car, and I knew how far I had to go and my approximate arrival time. And during my drive, I suddenly realized I was driving through a town that I knew was much further down the road. And I thought to myself, what did I do, fall asleep and drive all this way? Not possible. You know, then I realized that the Lord had translated me and the car, or else he changed time. So I arrived much earlier at my destination, which is what I really needed. Isn't God awesome? Here's one we're called Supernatural Preservation and Multiplication of UBM Materials. Samuel and Tiana Mary Church shared this one. A man we used to fellowship with mentioned to us about the numeric Bible. We had been asking God for ages what is the closest Bible to his. We then watched a video of David Eales talking about the numeric New Testament Bible. So we bought the UBM version from Lulu. And for some reason, we also bought all of David Eales' books with it, which Lulu handles, by the way. By the way, we don't charge anything for anything. And Lulu gets a fee for handling it, but we waive our fee. We don't take any fee whatsoever. We give everything. And even though we hadn't listened to his other videos at this point, and when we received the books, we only read the Numeric Bible, and we put all the rest of David Eales' books away in storage. Months later, we went to get all of our stuff out of storage and found that rats and mice had either pooped or peed on or eaten through all of our stuff, including evangelism tracts and the King James Bibles. The only thing that had absolutely no rat poop or pee on it or had not been eaten through was the cardboard box with David Eales' books inside. All our other cardboard boxes had parts of it eaten through and poop and pee all over it. We felt it was a sign from God to travel with the books and listen to his videos. Well, amen. So we listened to his videos and felt for a long time to join the Zoom outreach, but at the time I was really introverted and listening to spirits of shame and rejection. So we didn't join for ages, but finally we did, and are so grateful to the Lord for prompting us to join the outreach. We shared this testimony with a sister from UBM, and she said it's symbolic of how the poop was on everything that was unclean or leavened, and the spiritual food in David Eales' books was clean and unleavened. The brothers and sisters in the outreach are actually growing in Christ and manifesting God's love and grace, which we have not found elsewhere. We feel part of a loving family. We are so grateful for all the spiritual food in David Eales' books and videos. And thank you, Father God, all glory is yours. Amen. Well, this reminds me of the dentist in Gulf Breeze, Florida, who was given some of our videos by Bernice to watch, but he kept putting her off and not watching them. And one day his office burned to the ground, and the only thing left in the ashes was those plastic DVDs that miraculously survived the fire completely, sitting in the middle of it on a metal coffee table. The dentist was so shocked, he contacted her and told her he was not going to put off watching those videos anymore. Well, you can see a supernatural propagation of UBM materials and miracles God has done to get them out, even multiplying them. And we'll put you a couple of links here. Multiplying books. I remember Sandy giving a testimony. She traveled to the West Coast and only took a few books. And when she got there, every time she'd reach in her bag, she'd come out with another book. She'd reach in a drawer shelf. She'd come out with another book, go back to the same bag and the same shelf after she'd emptied them, and there was more books there every time, multiplied. The Lord just kept handing them out. Praise his name. And he's doing it in other lands, too. So this is Claire Pinar, 9/22/21, and we called it David's Teachings Will Reach Far. I dreamed I was sitting in a white kitchen. Well, the white kitchen represents where the unleavened bread is fed to the people. It had a square stainless steel table and four stainless steel chairs in the middle of the kitchen. The stainless steel table and chairs represents an inability to corrupt or rust through. Kind of like the rats and the mice not taking it out, right? I was sitting with an Aboriginal woman. She was telling Rion and I how bad mainline Christianity was and how David Eales was helping her disabled son. This disabled son, I believe, represents her spiritual fruit of Christ in her that has been disabled by false church doctrines, right? So we agreed, and I remember thinking, wow, David's teachings are even reaching the First People groups of Australia. Then this same lady turned the topic to find out my background, and I stopped telling her as I heard Holy Spirit say, "Your past doesn't matter anymore." I wondered if this woman was planted in my dream to get info from me, or if the Aboriginal people of Australia are gaining access to David Manchild Reformer teachings. And then I woke up. Yeah, that's cool. This one was given to Eve Brast on 8/19/21. And we called it African Visitors of the UBM Revival. Eve is representing the corporate bride of the last Adam in this dream. She said, "I dreamed that it was almost dark outside and all local UBM were gathered outside of the UBM house. The area was lit up by streetlights. I was lying on the same cot that I had seen David lying on in a previous dream where Michael and I had determined that he was dead." Oh, praise the Lord. Dead to self. This was the scene that followed the trials at the World's Fair dream in the series Tests Prove Who is the Bride, number one. Well, this represents that the bride follows the man-child David Reformers into death and resurrection life. Glory be to God. It will be so, because history told us this is what's going to happen. "I was lying on my back on this cot, and David and Michael carried me on this cot because I was weak and needed to rest and conserve my strength. Well, the rest is to cease from our works so that God's strength is ours. His power is made perfect in our weakness." So our weakness is a good thing in this revelation. "I was observing myself in the spirit, and I saw that I had a white head covering on that had a large print of all sorts of colorful fruits on it." The bride, I believe, will bear much fruit as she submits in purity to her heavenly husband, Jesus. That's what the head covering is all about, a sign of submission to the husband, right? Okay. "So, to my right was a short line of white women with blonde hair who had translated over here from Africa." Well, that's strange, huh? Well, in our dreams, many will be translated here in the natural. This is going to happen. We know this. Spiritually speaking, they are white with blonde hair because they have been purified by their faith in the cleansing blood of Jesus and are submitted to the Son, SON/SUN. So the color of the hair is like the sun, right? She's submitted to the Son. "They had come all that way to meet me and were so excited to finally get to greet me in person. So they said things to me like, 'Oh, we are so honored to finally meet you. We have come a long way and are so blessed to be here with you now.'" Well, the bride will be honored among those who have discernment. And hated among those who are self-willed and religiously oriented. "Well, each one took my hand in theirs with such love and admiration and warmth. Their excitement was palpable. They told me that they couldn't stay long, that they needed to take the UBM teaching materials back to their people in Africa." And translating them too. Mm-hmm. "And I told them that I was so glad to meet them and that they had come. but that I had to apologize for not being able to stand up to give them a proper greeting. Aha. God's power is perfect through our weakness. Amen. Well, David and Michael were standing over the cot and greeting the women also, as they too apologized for my weakness, but said something to the effect that I would soon be stronger than ever. And then I woke up. Well, true, right now the bride is relatively weak, but soon they will be led by the man-child with much authority and power, which he imparts to them, just as it was with the first disciples. Remember? Yeah. Revelation 3 and 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the church of brotherly love, right? It's the bride's church. Right? To the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, and he that openeth, and none shall shut, and that shutteth, and none openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door opened, which none can shut, that thou hast a little power, and didst keep my word, and didst not deny my name. Behold, I give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are Jews, and they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou didst keep the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, that hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Amen. The bride is obviously seated in heavenly places in Christ. Yes, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Many people are earthly in their walk. I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. Well, amen. Okay, this is also given to us anonymously. We know who it is, but it's anonymous. The UBM Luke 9 truck arrives to get the word out. Is that what we titled it? And they said, I had this dream, and God confirmed it through another brother as well. I dreamed it was daytime on Sunday, around 3 p.m. in the afternoon. I felt like the Spirit of the Lord had something to tell me, and I felt a bit sleepy. I was reading the Bible, and I closed it and laid down on the carpet to rest. As I was resting, I got this vision. I saw we were here at our home in our ministry grounds, in another country, by the way, and the whole grounds were fully packed with many brand new computers. I was with some people at home as we were wondering about these computers. Well, computers represent the ability from our Father to get out much knowledge to many people easily and quickly. And this is what this brother and ministry are doing, but this shows it will happen on a much larger scale. And Father is saying they all are going to get the word out in a very great way. He went on to say, while we were still there wondering about these new computers, a new truck came in. Well, I believe it's a new truck because this is something that's coming. All right? These big trucks carry sand and sometimes luggage. It came in and backed into the ministry grounds, and I ran to it. I tried to climb it to see what it had brought, but I could not see in there. It was tall, and I tried to see who was driving it, and I did not see anyone. It seemed like the driver closed the door so that no one could see him. Well, we know it's who it is. Father is hiding that he and his power is behind this great move of God to spread the gospel through this ministry to his countries and beyond. So, in my striving to see what was in there, I heard a voice tell me, "What are you looking for? Can't you see?" And the voice said again, "Look at the back of the truck and read." I went to the back of the truck, and there was a big sign that said, "Luke 9. I did not see this before. After reading this, a certain Mexican man, probably living in the USA, came to me and asked me, "Man of God, help me to understand what this Bible verse means." Quote, "After God saved his people from Egypt, he destroyed them who did not believe in the wilderness," unquote. Well, it comes from Jude 1 and 5. "Now I desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once and for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." Believe it or not, this is common. Like the parable of the sower, right? Well, many don't understand that we must continue to walk by faith to see all of our salvation and kingdom benefits. And we are being tested in the wilderness of life as to whether we are truly a believer in the Word of God. As we know, many fell away and did not make it to the promised land. And Jesus said the same in the parable of the sower. I looked at him and I was thinking, "This man knows English very well, better than me. Why is he asking me to explain to him something written in the language which he understands better than me?" And as I was thinking about it all, the Spirit of the Lord reminded me of the Ethiopian official whom Philip helped to understand the scriptures. Then the dream ended right there. Well, this knowledge this minister gained through the UBM materials will spread back to foreigners who are aliens to the kingdom of God living in the USA. Yes, it will. Just like those people who came from Africa and it came back, right? So, early morning the next day, a brother in our ministry came to me and told me that he had a vision of God telling me to read Luke 9, all of that chapter, and again to read Matthew 10, all of it. Wow. Good confirmation. And then he says, this speaks of Jesus sending out the apostles to spread the gospel of deliverance from sin, sickness, demonic possession, and heavenly provision everywhere. Jesus multiplying the fishes and loaves for the people to eat the food from heaven. Yeah. Well, this is what they are doing with computers and printers, and we have many more books to share with them, obviously, and many others. In these texts, Jesus was preaching the crucified self-life, he said, which the prosperity preachers there refused to do. And we have books for this too. And he went on to say Jesus was glorified before them. Well, he will be glorified everywhere and in them through his word, right? And he went on to say Jesus was casting out demons from the people. And especially, I would say, demon doctrines. This is what's setting the people free. And to realize that they should believe all that is written. Right? Jesus was saying he was going to Jerusalem to be crucified by the false leadership. Well, those are they who love the self-life and will speak evil of the brethren there. And they're doing it here too. Yeah. So then he went on to say Jesus was preaching to follow him above all things. Yes, amen, so true. He said, wow, so when I read Matthew 10 and Luke 9, they both read the same. Matthew 10, 5 through 8 says, These 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, saying, Go not in any way of the Gentiles, enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I want to tell you that most of the emphasis is going to be that today because it runs parallel to what happened in the Gospels. God wanted to offer this covenant to those who already had a covenant from the Old Testament. And God wants us to go to Christians who are not actually Christian because they believe things and have been led astray by false leaders, right? And these things don't manifest Christ in you, which is what Christianity is, right? Verse 7, And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Another thing that doesn't happen is we freely give everything we have to any need we see. But these people, especially these prosperity preachers who claim to have such faith, they charge poor people who cannot afford these things. So therefore, it's only those who can afford it that receives anything from them. And I'm kind of glad about that because it's a good thing that poor people don't receive garbage, which is full of leaven, right? And people just wanting to take advantage of them. Some of these people, by the way, are going to be declassified in these coming days. There are a lot of so-called Christians who are anything but Christians. Okay. And by the way, I mean, we see here, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and they will go forth with power. That's what it says there. Keep your eyes on that Luke 9 and Matthew 10. They're going to go forth with power. Praise be to God. God is so awesome. He has thought of everything. And he's there to meet our needs in any way that even is beyond our possibility thinking, as we've already shared. Well, we can't talk much about this, but UBM has schools raising up many missionaries in foreign lands. And many of our missionaries are in danger of factions here and in their own lands. So we don't say much. Can't give names, countries, and so on. And many are in countries where Christianity is illegal and hated. Some have been killed by their factious enemies, just as it is here. And we are stretched to our limit providing their ministry needs, but our God has been faithful. And as we can see from these testimonies, he has no limits to meet your needs and ours. A God that can change time and make things appear and disappear has no limits. And he can provide your needs anywhere. I'll just remind you of one little testimony, how that the Lord put food in my family's stomach when I prayed a simple prayer and we had run out of everything. I said, Lord, you sent us here, and I'm asking you to fill our plates or fill our tummies. And he filled our tummies. As I said, nothing can stop God from meeting your needs. You just have to have your faith expanded to believe that. Is anything too hard for God? That was his question. Is anything too hard for God? Well, the obvious answer is no. Nothing is too hard for God. He can meet any need, anywhere, anytime, even if there isn't time. Praise God. He is an awesome Savior. In all things, he will meet your needs. Whether it be sickness, whether it be death, whether it be cleansing the lepers or casting out demons. You know, he will meet your needs. He will provide. He multiplied the fishes and the loaves. And when they had less fish and loaves to start with, the miracle was bigger. Twice he did this, right? When he had less to start with, less that they put in, the miracle was bigger because the need was bigger. That just tells you the more we cease from our works, the greater God's miracles will be. The less we put in, the more he puts in. So his power is made perfect in our weakness. So going into a wilderness, which, by the way, the church is about to do physically, but we all have our spiritual wilderness experiences. But going into a wilderness is a place of great lack and need. And it's a place where Egypt does not supply your needs. And so in that weakness, God did miraculous things to provide for his people. Water out of a rock? Who'd have thunk it? Quails out of the sky, feet deep? Who'd have thunk it? They couldn't get anywhere where God wouldn't supply their needs. Manna out of heaven? Who'd have thunk it, right? Excuse my language. But it is so. And God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Now think about that. Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So we need to think big, right? And we need to ask big, right? And God will answer big, right? He is searching the earth to find someone whose heart is perfect towards him. He wants people to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. He puts a high premium on people believing him for the impossible. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you so much for your gracious mercy upon your people in pouring forth of your faith. Lord, your word says, by grace have you been saved. Have you been saved, literally, through faith? And that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So therefore, God gives this gift of faith so that you may be a partaker in all of this grace, this impossible grace. So ask him for faith. And when you pray, pray in the Spirit, which is called in the Scripture speaking in tongues, because the Spirit makes intercession for you according to the will of God. And when you ask anything according to his will, he hears you, the Bible says. And one of the things is building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when you pray in the Spirit, God builds up your faith. Praise be to God. That's what you need, right? To take a hold of this impossible-looking grace, right? Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Father, for blessing us to have this fellowship today. And we'll just do it again, as you say, Lord. As you make opportunity and you open doors, we will do it again. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. God bless you, saints. Good night, folks.